to see if I can say proper English. The first greatest commandment, I know that's probably killing you, Sue. And today, we're going to hear the second. My voice is much better today, but I still got that frog that sneaks up on me every once in a while. So we remember last week, the Pharisees, Sadducees, the Hellenites, all these people came together to try and get Jesus. They said, hey, of these 600 and some odd laws, we're going to put Jesus on the spot and we're going to ask him, hey, which one is the most important? Because if Jesus puts one as being more important than the other, then we can get him on the rest. And so we know that they brought their big wig lawyer in that knew the law and knew everything. And they asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And what was Jesus' response first? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. He kind of said, hey, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to learn. And we talked about it enough last week. But to understand how to love others, you have to understand how to love God. That's where it starts. That's the beginning. If you understand how to love God, then it just kind of tails off into loving others also. We love God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And the Pharisees, they were not doing this. He said, what God wants is your heart, and you haven't given it to him. Today we're going to be in the last little part, Matthew 22, 39 and 40 of this conversation he's having with this people. So let's just go ahead and stand as we read these two verses. Matthew 22, starting in 39 and going on through 40, says, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for loving us, Lord, first, teaching us how to love, showing us how to love. We ask that you be with this time, that we would hear from you. Lord, allow me to take a back seat to what you want to be said today, Lord. Thank you for your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So chapter 23 starts the seven woe discourse. And at some point, probably along my preaching time, we'll get into those because that's a pretty nice little conversation. But it's a pretty big condemnation from Jesus to the religious elite. He says, calls them, well, verse 13, 15, 16, 23, 25, 27, 29, all is except one. It's the scribes and the Pharisees. He calls them blind guides in the other. He talks about a hypocrite. What is a hypocrite? Glad you asked. I got it right up there. I think I do. Somewhere up there. Someone who has something on the outside, but is empty on the inside. Anybody ever done any woodwork here? All right. What kind of wood do you use? Oak. Good, solid, sturdy wood. Would you ever use particle board to make something? See? Your face tells it all. So A hypocrite is like a piece of particle board with a piece of oak veneer over it. Oh, it looks good. But man, when you dig down to the inside, don't get it wet because it just goes bleh. That's what I got right there. That particle board. That just, anyways, we won't get into, that's another sermon. But they did not love God. These Pharisees, these religious elite, they did not love God with all their heart. They love self. And that was the key. And if, as we studied enough about them, I think I've beat that horse enough about Jesus' condemnation of the Pharisees and these people, these religious elite, that the focus was on self. The focus was not on God. They loved self. And if you love self, what's it hard to do? To love others. Because you're constantly, well, what it's in it for me? How can I benefit from this? What do I want out of this? You're not thinking of the other person. Kind of like what I told the kids, you know, treat others as they have treated you. No, it's treat others as you would like to be treated. Man, if the world did that, what a wonderful world it would be. You make a song like that. But loving others has to start with loving God first. These people, they were keeping the commandments. They were doing good. Exodus 26 says, love me and keep my commandments. It's repeated in Deuteronomy 7:9, Nehemiah 1:5. Never in the Old Testament do you see God teaching externalism. Just keep a good veneer up. Don't let them see the inside. What is it always talking about? When David was being christened king, or when they were searching for him, what did the prophet say to his dad? Well, he's got, I got the ruddy one out in the field. God does not look on the outside. God looks at the heart. It's always love me and keep my commandments. Jesus to his disciples in John 14:15, if you love me, you will start. If you love me. Ephesians 6:24, love incorruptible. The NIV says undying. New King James says sincerity. God calls people to love him. Is he worth it? That kind of goes without saying, and I hope you all will be like, yes, of course he is. But these people don't love God. God calls people to love him. He is worth it. Yet the world does hate him. If you don't love him, you hate him. There's no middle ground here. Jesus said, if you are not for me, you are what? Against me. In understanding verse 39, we have to understand what it truly means. We have to understand how loving God. To understand how to love others, we have to know how to love God. If we don't truly love God, then we can't truly love others. When you love God right, you love people first. It's easy if you have the love of God in you to look out at this dying world, and it should break your heart because you see them as God sees them. So you love your neighbor as yourself. And what does that mean? What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? Matthew 7:12 is different words, but it kind of contains the same meaning as the golden rule. I'm going to turn there. It says, so whatever you wish the others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, that's the golden rule. That's Matthew 7:12. Love your neighbor as yourself is what Jesus is saying here. Different words, but the same meaning. It prompts believers to measure their love for others by what they wish for themselves. It's kind of an interesting... Basically, I would call it the great summation, basically, of what Christianity should be. Loving others more than yourself. Loving others as God has loved us, unconditionally. We have our relationship with the Father, God, and our brothers, fellow believers. These are our neighbors. You can sum up, if you think of it this way, you can sum up all of biblical revelation and divine data, so to speak, down to this: our relationship with the Father, our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a family, and God is the Father. Loving your neighbor as yourself, I am convinced, is impossible without the love of the Father in you. because we are always looking for self. We are naturally born selfish. And until the love of the Father comes into us, that's the way we think. That's our natural tendency. What can I get out of this? If we look at chapter 7 of Matthew, verses 1 through 6 is negative. That's what you don't do. And 7 through 12 is what you do. If someone was to come up to you and ask you if you love them, and your thoughts were this, well, I've never done anything bad to you, does that mean you love them? No, not necessarily. It doesn't necessarily mean you don't love them. But if they say, do you love me? And you say, well, I've never done anything bad to you. Love is not only not doing something, but it also means doing things. There's a positive and a negative. And that's what Christ gives us, this balance in Matthew 7. Now, the truth is, this truth is limited to the Bible. You're not going to find it anywhere else in all of philosophy, so to speak. If you study philosophy, you will note that there's a negative kind of golden rule that appears in all of ethics. The famous Hebrew rabbi Hillel had the negative principle. He said, what is hateful to yourself, do not do to someone else. In other words, don't do something to somebody that you wouldn't want done to you. It's a negative approach to what God is saying. But it's a don't principle. It's withholding or it's refraining from doing something. The book of Tobit, it says, what thou thyself hatest, to no man do. Again, where's that coming from? It's coming from a negative approach to it. The Septuagint scholars of Alexandria, who put together the Greek Old Testament, in a letter to this guy who, Artesius, he said this, as you wish that no evil befall you, but to be a partaker of all good things, so you should act on the same principle towards your subject and offenders. In other words, you don't want any evil on you, so don't do any evil to anybody else. Again, it's a don't do principle. Confucius thought, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. What you do not want done to yourself, do not do. Again, everyone so far in philosophy is a don't do. It's a negative principle. Now, the whole world knows how to not do. But they just don't know how to do. I mean, we can all withhold what is evil. So the negative form is a common principle. But the positive form is something that is uncommon to man. You can find the negative form, because it is common. You can find it in all kinds of systems of theology and religion and ethics. But left alone again, it's negative. It's a negative form. Why? Because it's basically a revelation of the selfishness of man. Our innermost being without the Father is selfish. So it's hard to do good things to others when they don't deserve it. Right? Well, if you know how to know how to demand or to define man at its basic root, we can do it in one word. What do you think that word is? Selfish. That is correct. Selfish. Man is utterly, totally hopeless without God. I think you said it earlier, Pete. There's a world out there. They have no hope. We have this hope inside of us. Well, that's the negative form. You don't need God. You just simply need self-restraint. Just don't do it. However, the positive form is impossible without the love of God. To think in your mind what you would want and to do it to somebody else, it's just not going to happen without God. So love your neighbor as yourself is at its core the positive principle of Christian living. Jesus started out love God and then love others. Love God first. That's the underlying principle. Love God, love man. Christianity is not complicated. We put so much around it. Simply love God and love man. The first four of the Ten Commandments deal with our relationship with God. The last six deal with our relationship with man. Why do we make it so complicated? Love God and then love man. The fact that there are laws in Scripture against murder indicates that people don't love each other. The fact that there are laws in the Bible against idolatry means people don't love God. If I love God perfectly, I have no other idol. Right? It makes sense. If I love God perfectly, I won't take His name in vain. If I love men as I ought to love men, I won't kill them. I won't steal from them. I won't covet what is theirs. Because I'll be like, wow, what a blessing they have. I don't need a law that says don't make idols if I love God supremely. I don't need a law that says do not murder if I love God and love man. But this is the whole thing right here. What is God calling for? He's calling for love me, keep my commandments, love your neighbor as yourself. That is, love others in a way that causes you to meet their needs. Love others in a way as eagerly, as anxiously, as completely as you want to meet your own needs. Meet others' needs. These are clear words. That's what God wants. That's the kind of people God wants. If you are a Christian, you will love God and you will love your neighbor. But you will be recognizing right away that even though that's what you desire to do, and that's what you long to do, and that's what you want to do, there's a certain kind of debilitating factor that comes with being of the flesh. It's not natural to us. And you want to grow, and you want to grow, and you want to become better as a Christian, because you'll look for that love of God, and you'll look to love men as yourself. The lawyer who asked the question said, "You're right," to Jesus when he asked the question. And he repeated what Jesus said. And Jesus said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom." See, if you believe this, you're not far. But believing is one step short of what? Of loving Him. If you believe that this is all what God wants, that's good. But God wants you to take a step of loving Him and of opening up your heart and saying, "I want you to come in the name of Jesus. I want you to forgive my unloving, and I want you to enable me to love as you love, to see the world through your eyes." Brandon Heath had a great song. "Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your heart so I can feel." And I don't remember the rest of the lyrics, but you can look it up. This answer to these Pharisees, these answers to these religious elite, was so right in your face to them. These hypocrites, that in Mark 12:34, as Mark closes his description of this account, he says, "No one dared ask him any more questions." He just kind of smacked them. Love God and love others as yourself. What more could they say to him? No one dared ask him any more questions. It's a simple concept to love God. And we talked about that enough last week. But to love others as you yourself would want to be loved. There's a great movie. Has anybody not seen Saving Private Ryan? Okay. Well, I'm sorry then. You've had enough time to see it. There's a scene at the end where this guy that they're going to save is alive. And the guy that went to save him is dying. and he knows he's dying. And with some of his last breath, he leans up to him and he says, "Earn this. Earn this." Because he just gave his life to save him. Because his brothers had all died and now he gets to go home. But this guy is dying. And he saved him. And he says to him, "Earn this." And it's this, if you've seen the movie through and then you see the beginning where this guy is an older man, falls. And it's kind of cool that I brought it up today, being it's Veterans Day. But he falls at the grave of this guy. And he says, "Tell me," to his, and I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. But he's talking to his daughter and his wife. And he says, "Tell me I'm a good man. Tell me I've lived a good life." And that's the thing. With Christ, we don't have to earn salvation. We don't have to earn the right to be called children of God. God loved us in a way that we could never be earned. He gave us Christ, right? We could never earn salvation. However, when we love God back with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and we love others as Christ loved us, we earn the right to use His name. Christian. Little Christ. That should be our beckoning call, to have earned the right to use His name, to be called children of His. Salvation is ours. It was given to us and it cannot be taken away, nor can it be earned. But the right to bear His name is something we should strive to love others as Christ loved us, to love others as we would want to be loved, to take that love that Christ has given to us and to spread it to those who don't know. We have no right to be anything but welcoming to those that come in this door, to those that come to us in the name of Christ. There are a lot of people out there that don't understand what we do here, don't understand the hope that we have. And when they come to us and they ask us questions, we shouldn't be, "Well, hey, why don't you come to church and talk to my pastor?" We should be like, "Let me tell you about Jesus." That should be what we do. And then you can come and talk to me. But our foremost, our uttermost calling should be, "Let me welcome you into the kingdom of God. Not just through these doors, but through those doors." We should look for opportunities to be welcoming. The church, this building, us as a body of believers, is His. We welcome as we would like to be welcomed. Next week, we're going to be talking about evangelism. Second part to being a well church. You think I'm excited today? I love evangelism. Pray with me.